All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You listen to myself, Albert, and as always, I am joined by my brother Barney. How you doing, Barney? How's things?
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to this relaxed show that we're doing this week, a little bit different.
Yeah, do you want to explain today's show to all the listeners?
Yeah, well, as listeners may know, we do have a Patreon. Do you describe it as the most? What's the phrase?
Best value for money in the game.
Yeah, it's not
I'd
the cheapest, the best value. Yeah, the best value, because it is just at £1 a month. But we try to put out a show once a week. Usually, we were doing it as a sort of preview show, previewing all the games for the upcoming weekend's action. But we're taking a different route now, which I think is going to be more fun and more enjoyable. Where we're sort of like, it's just a bit more relaxed. We look at news stories. We probably spend a bit more time on like individuals or little bits of news that's popped up than we would do on the main show, where we sort of focus on the game. So, yeah, it's nice to have that bit more time to talk about things.
Yeah, I think that's the general idea, isn't it? It will be all the stuff we don't have time to discuss on the main podcast whenever we're going through all the games of the week. That said, the reason we're putting this out on the main feed this week is because we, me and Barney, haven't quite had time to prepare in the normal way for our main podcast. So we'll be giving you this instead, and we'll try and tie in some relevant discussion to this week's results. But yeah, we'll be mainly discussing news stories, a lot of managerial changes, I guess, any transfers. Obviously, with it being the transfer window, it's a good time to discuss that kind of stuff. And any other weird and wonderful stories from the world of Portuguese football, which as there are many of, as we all know. I think we'll come to those later. Barney, I was thinking of the best place to start, because obviously I think the biggest news this weekend is the news that Porto have sacked their manager, Vitor Bruno. Barney, I want to bring something to the table here. We do it, the listeners will know that I'm not ashamed to sort of pat my own back when I get something right. You know, I don't mind saying when I've made a good prediction. I think I've made two of the worst calls ever made on this podcast in the last few weeks. Do you know what they both are?
Was it that Porto looked better to finish
That's
strongly?
One. And what's the other one? What was the other one I was really excited about recently?
Oh, no. Daniel Souza.
Oh my God, honestly, I don't know why I do this sometimes. So yeah, in the space of the last two podcasts, I've said one, that Daniel Souza will take over Vitória and they will finish higher than Braga.
Yeah.
Obviously he got sacked right after three games. We'll come on to that. Don't worry about that. And the second thing I ended up saying was at the halfway point in the season, I reckoned Porto were the best placed team to win the league. Anyway, what did they do?
Hey,
they
now you can now up. You can now now you can double down when Daniel Souza becomes new Porto manager.
Oh, Jesus.
He surely can't, can he? I know he's got the links to AVB, but surely that.
Oh, do you know what? I hadn't even considered it as a possibility.
Surely but not.
He does have the connection, doesn't he?
Yeah,
because he's a former AVB assistant at like Zenit and
Marseille,
and also in China and places like that. Well, I tell you what, it's not as crazy as it sounds. But anyway, let's just, first things first, I suppose, like, your reaction to the fact that he got sacked, because none of the big three have had great seasons so far, but, you know, all three of the teams were in kind of touching distance of the title. But that loss to Gilverson at the weekend was obviously a really poor result, and they haven't been playing amazingly well. So I think there was always a sense that Porto could be doing a lot better, and perhaps there was a manager out there who could do better. We should clarify, of course, it's three losses in a row for Porto, two in the league, and then they lost the League Cup final, of course, to Sporting as well. So, yeah, it's a string of disappointing results in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the original decision to go for Vitor Bruno was the sort of the cheapest decision, and perhaps brought the most continuity from Sergio Conceição, although he's obviously not exactly the same for many, many reasons. I think it needed to be done because there clearly has been something going on. You see the whole Pepe drama, the Brazilian winger who been left out of the squad.
Right.
He'd put out quite a damning statement. Vita Bruno himself has sort of said some quite damning things about Pepe as well, and so there's clearly some unrest there.
Right.
I didn't get the full story from, because Pepe put out an Instagram post, I think. But one of the things that came out was that Pepe was playing PS5 when the game was on or something like that. So there's been a bit of a real breakdown, and I think once the decision had been made, Andres Fias Boas had called all the players in the squad in to sort of to the Grau to discuss the situation. So I think maybe not so much for their input, but to sort of like, you know, just sort of set the story straight and sort of say, right, we're moving on now. Let's push on, because you weren't too stupid to say they were looking good a little while ago. There was
I appreciate that.
there were because they were in a sort of, it did feel like they were in a stable situation, but as you said, the wheels have come off and it hasn't looked good. There's been a real, I mean, on the football pitch itself, I think there's been a real lack of creativity. I think to his credit, he managed to find a, well, maybe not to his credit. I was going to say, to his credit, he had a lot to do in terms of, like, you had to reinvent the back line, which has taken him some time, and perhaps maybe he hasn't got it right on every game. There is a lack of creativity. You know, I think that's highlighted by the fact that Samu's XG, he's overperforming his XG so massively, i.e. he's getting low quality chances, really, but he's managing to put them away. So that's sort of certainly papered over the cracks, hasn't it, for perhaps a little while, and maybe made them look better than they actually were. I was going to ask the question, would another manager have done better with this squad? But I think maybe, yeah, because
Yeah.
there are there's sort of obvious improvements, really. So no, I it didn't surprise me. I think I'm very interested in where they go next and who they look to bring in. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me. He didn't show enough. He had was it the first game of the season in the Super Cup? That win sort of raised a few eyebrows, like, oh, hello. But there's been nothing since then.
Well, just very quickly before I come back on that, I was just looking at their results. They lost four times in the league so far. Two of those were their last two games, which was Gil Vicente and Nacional. And the other two losses were against Benfica and Sporting. So, don't know whether that maybe makes it seem a bit harsh, but I get the feeling that perhaps it's a bit more because this is maybe a bit of a missed opportunity for Porto. The thing that really hit the nail on the head for me, Barney, I think it was friend of the show, Danny Saldana from All Things Avalanche, basically did a tweet saying, "Thank God Conceição's not here because he would walk the league this year." And I do kind of agree with that. Although I have praised Porto for the fact that they're building something and it's a transitional year and all this stuff, but
I think
I
that's a
mean.
really, really good point. That's a really good point. Like, if Conchisal was here with this squad,
With this squad.
then he would be walking the league.
Exactly. So maybe that's the thinking behind it. But then in that sense, if that is what you're thinking, then that does kind of tell you, well, where do you go next for your managerial appointment? Because I don't think you sack Vita Bruno because you think the project's not working. You sack Vita Bruno because you think, well, with half a season left to go, maybe we can win the title here. And then so who do you bring in? And it's like, well, there's not many options. I mean,
I've got,
Paulo Fonseca has been linked. I
yeah, I
mean,
think that he looks m most, he might be probably going to Lyon. I think I saw a report that Jorge Costa and Villas Boas like Luis Castro's profile because of his
yeah.
years at Porto. Zubizarreta, is he the sporting director? He's a fan of Xavi, the
Oh, wow.
ex-Spurs. And Sarri's been mentioned, but more of a sort of,
I mean, Maurizio Sarri would be a crazy appointment for the
yeah.
Premier League. That would be crazy.
The Xavi one's interesting to me. I don't know if that would come off.
But it's like all these big names come with big price tag. That's the only thing. And I don't think Porto have got that kind of money. They'll have to find it from somewhere, but
Well, yeah, maybe the Xavi thing's interesting because he feels like, I feel like Porto's quite an interesting club for sort of to bounce back from parts. Like, I don't think many other clubs would take a risk on him, whereas I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
this is all sort
Speculation.
of speculation. I guess I think they are still looking to be active in the transfer market. This Barco deal hasn't come off, but I don't know. I feel like it's a big, big moment really for AVB, because it feels like, Yeah, it's going back to that point you made, Albert, and put several people are making. This is an interesting season, and then there is an opportunity there. And I think perhaps, yeah, if that opportunity wasn't there, maybe they would have been a little bit more patient and waited for the summer.
Yeah. I was
But
going to
yeah.
say it's the first big call AVB's had to make, but it's not, is it? The first big call was getting rid of Conceição in the first place. So this is the
Yeah.
second big call. So yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Porto is like it's so easy to look back with the benefit of hindsight and be like, maybe they got the managerial appointment wrong. Maybe they shouldn't have gone for the kind of the project or whatever. But I think it was the right thing to do at the time. And I do wonder whether maybe their hands been forced by the fact that Benfica and Sporting have not been kind of as far ahead as you might have thought. And so now that there is that opportunity to win the league, maybe they're kind of, rubbing their hands together, thinking there's a league to be won, which they may well could still do. But yeah, we don't know who the next manager's going to be yet.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm as confident now after those two results. And then they've looked who the Samu got sent off in this game, Nico Gonzalez
After
got
the
sent.
game, yeah.
Yeah, Nico Gonzalez got sent off in the game, so that's they're missing the next. Maybe they'll bounce back. Maybe there will be like the because it's the caretaker managers from the B team. Is it from the B team? Is he or the
Yeah,
assistant?
yeah.
Maybe there will be a little bounce, but I don't know. It does strike me the squad do seem a little bit lost. I mean, Fabio Vieira hasn't been done well at all, and that felt like a really emblematic signing in the summer, like that. And then, the best hasn't been brought out of him. I don't know. I think there's perhaps there's going to be. It's. I think it might take a little while for these problems to be resolved for Porto. I don't. I think, yeah, they might drift away rather than push for the title.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm not going to make any more predictions after what happened last time. Should we talk about the other prediction that I got wrong, which is, of course, Daniel Souza? I actually couldn't believe this at the time.
I need like a really in-depth inside story. I don't know if there
That's
is
the
one.
thing. So, for anybody who's not aware, Daniel Souza, the man who took Arouca to the Europa Conference League. Last season, did some amazing work, built an amazing team, and achieved great things with Arouca, and naturally got a big job offer from Braga. He joined over the summer. They made some signings. He took charge of a couple of Europa League games. He then took charge of one league game, which did they even lose or did they just draw the game? I can't remember. But anyway, they sacked him after one league game. It was incredible at the time, really, really surprising. Then embroiled in a legal case with Braga about unpaid wages and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, gets the job at Vitória halfway through the season, the Minho rivals of Braga. And we all think this is going to be, well, I'd certainly thought this is an opportunity for his redemption and to kind of build back his reputation. Anyway, I think he lasted 4 games at Vitória, and was then sacked, which was just absolutely astounding. Oh, excuse me, 7 games in charge of Vitória, 2 wins, 4 draws, and a defeat. He was then sacked after a matter of weeks. I found it incredible. I mean, the thing I keep thinking now, Barney, is that there must be something going on behind the scenes. This guy must be rubbing people up the wrong way in some manner. For this to be happening, not once, but twice. It's just absolutely incredible.
It's not a good look for him. I don't understand. Because yeah, the results were, sorry if you just said that, I just got myself, but it was the 2-2 draw of Ferenc, 4-4 draw of Sporting, and then the cup game against, was it fourth tier El Vash? They was lost 2-1, which maybe was,
Disappointing, yeah, it's a bad result. Very bad result.
yeah, but there must be something going on. And is he just really rude? I don't know, because there was nothing.
I think it must be a case of perhaps not being good at working with his superiors, basically, whether that's the president. He must not work well in an environment where he feels perhaps that he has people telling him what to do. Because, I mean, again, this is pure speculation, but Aruka's a small club. He probably was one of the main figure at that club, where they sort of let him do what he wanted in many ways. And obviously, they couldn't just let him sign any player under the sun. But, you know, perhaps he was kind of felt more that he had freedom at Aruka. I can imagine that more. And I can imagine going from there to Braga and having a lot less freedom, having a lot more people to answer to. And perhaps he was felt more constricted. And similarly at Vitória, it would have been a similar situation. But again, this is just pure speculation because I mean, I believe that in neither case, either at Braga or Vitória, the results alone warranted the sacking. I don't know if you agree with that.
No, yeah, I do agree. They didn't deserve a sacking. I don't know. I was just trying to think, like, were they both during the transfer window? So maybe he wasn't getting players, like, maybe he was demanding players or something. I don't know. Because I feel like it wasn't a straight firing, was it? But it was like a mutual, like, it in both cases, it wasn't sort of described as a straight sacking. I think, you know, it was. It's absolutely bizarre. It's done. It's like this guy had so much promise. He was so highly thought of, and then he seems to have, he's almost ruined his career in two jobs. And then Vittorio going for Luis Freire is a that's a good replacement. I think that's. I'm glad to see him get the opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's.
I thought he was hard done by Rio Ave to lose that job. I thought he'd done really well. I mean, maybe I'm not sure whether he was fired or maybe it was like mutual consent or whatever, but he'd done really well at Rio Ave. So that feels like a good appointment.
Yeah, it sounded like he had a bright future. Like he was like one of these, you know. Anyway, so that's a good replacement. I just yeah, it, people have described it as only in Portugal, right? But like it seems even crazier than that. Like the like I've never seen anything like it. It's particularly with the profile of the two jobs, Braga and Vitória, and
Yeah.
yeah, it's
What do you think he's done for his reputation, though, Barney? Because surely he doesn't manage in Portugal again.
well, man, like his name came up in the summer when Porto were looking, when they were briefly looking,
Yeah. I'm
and
not
maybe
sure if
that.
there was any actual links there, or it was more like speculation about which kind of
Well, there
manager
was the
could.
AVB link, and I don't think it would have been too outrageous if he had got that job. It would have been a bold shout, but it wouldn't have been out of this world. I yeah. Didn't you say? But before he took the Victoria job, he was the only other offers he was getting were sort of Middle East and that,
I think
and
he was there was room rumblings around when Famalicão needed a new manager, so that
yeah.
kind of level as well, which even that I don't think would be a bad move for him, but
Well, it's whether he decides to stay in Portugal or not, or if I don't know. Maybe he does suit the Portuguese merry-go-round of managers that sometimes happens with some of the clubs.
It just sucks them all in, doesn't it, Barney? No one can escape it, no matter how good you think you are. You're destined to be on the you're destined to be managing Moreirense in a season's time.
It's always more ends, isn't it? No, it's yeah, I think. For me, I think that's probably one of the craziest things I've seen since doing the podcast.
Yeah, I agree.
It's unheard of twice in one season. But yeah, like I say, I need to find like a real inside story about that and what's gone on there.
Well, does this bring us nicely perhaps onto the next part of what we want to talk about, which is transfers? Obviously, it's a transfer window. Transfer window is open, and a club making big moves in the transfer market is Vitória, although all outgoings. So, as I understand it, Barney, Manu Silva, the defensive midfielder, has just signed for Benfica for about, what was it, 12 million euros, something like that. They then sold the right back, Alberto Costa, to Juventus for, again, about the same fee, 12, 13 million euros. So, about 25 million euros for the both of them. And they are now, as we see today, in talks with Al Hilal, which I think is Jorge Jesus's club in Saudi Arabia,
But
for the
Neymar's
transfer.
replacement.
So Neymar's leaving, and they're replacing him with Caio Cesar for 10 million euros. So if I'm doing the maths right, Bonnie, I'm counting 25 million. No, wait, €35 million worth of sales for Victoria in the space of a few days.
Yeah.
How do they keep doing it is one thing. But two, the other side to this is that they're about to enter the next stage of the Europa Conference League, which they were doing so well in. They've then sacked off the manager that, well, they lost the manager that, excuse me, to be fair, they lost the manager that did so well to get them far in that competition. And they're selling off three of their best young players. I mean, I understand that they can't turn down the money, but I mean, it's pretty incredible how they keep making these types of sales.
Yeah, the Alberto Costa one has took me by surprise, and I haven't been all in this season. I've had lots of things going on behind the scenes, but I've got to hold my hands up. I'd never really Alberto Costa had not been on my radar at all. So like to see him go, and it was a bit of a saga, wasn't it? Because Sporting were wanted to get the deal done. I think that meant that Ivan Fresneda was almost signed at Como. And then when that fell through, he stayed. And by the way, did you see Ruud Bosch just started in the next game, which I think is a really good move. Like it just sort of says to him, "Look, I know you were gone, but go on, show me what you can do. Let's turn things around." Anyway, I mean, that was a good man manager. But yeah, Alberto Costa. I'm not sure if it was the sort of the price got inflated because of all these goings on. Like, was there a Premier League club in for him as well? Anyway, that's good business, and a youth player, so that's huge money. Cal Caesar, I don't think I've ever seen anything to think he's ready for that next step up, but that once again, that's great money if I want to take a punt on him. And then Manu Silva is a player that has come on leaps and bounds this season, and I think his versatility is quite good because he was played at centre back a lot last season, playing defensive midfield a bit more this year. I mean, an interesting sign from Benfica's point of view because it's sort of, yeah, perhaps it's a
Was it
smart sign.
the type of position that you thought they would need to reinforce? Because they've got players like Florentino in there, they've got players like Barreiro in there, even Alzenes can play there. I mean, I wasn't sure personally that that was like the first position that they needed to sign someone in.
Not necessarily, and perhaps it was a bit opportunistic because once again, this the Wolves were in for him as weren't they? So they had the exact same deal, I think, lined up. But he's been drawn to Benfica for the European football. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's got some interesting qualities. I think I sort of like the idea of him and Florentino there. I think he's got the potential to perhaps play slightly further. I don't know. I think he's a really good player. But yeah, I guess it's like I think we've seen the big three clubs do this occasionally where like it almost feels like they're scared that they're gonna they'll pick up a player from one of the smaller teams, but like almost opportunistically because of their scare. I get it. It's almost as if they're scared that they're missing out on something like. Manu Silva could go to Wolves, and maybe they're thinking like, oh, maybe he's gonna be the next thing, and then someone else is gonna get then get the next big fee for him afterwards. If you see what I mean, and we see that like with Porto, sometimes that comes off and sometimes it doesn't. Like I think Porto, Andre Franco, Ivan Jamie, that hasn't come off. They were sort of opportunistic signings that when they didn't really need it. Maybe Manu will be that again. I don't know. But for Victoria, we know they've got money issues. They've always had money issues. This is going to really help that incredibly so, actually. I don't think they'll be splashing the cash. I think I've already seen rumours of them looking down to the second division to sign a couple of players, which has served them fairly well in the past. So yeah, but it's quite a turbulent time, isn't it? There's a three big players to lose, and as you say with the whole managerial changes, I don't want the wheels to fall off is what I'm saying, but it's a pretty impressive outgoing in terms of the income that they're getting. Yeah, it's really
And then
impressive.
you add the 20, was it 20 million or so they got for Jota Silva in the summer as well. So it's been a very fruitful period for Victoria, you have
I
to say.
guess that's where the Victoria fans would start to They
Where
have,
does the money go? I think that's kind of what I'm suggesting.
yeah.
Although maybe the answer then, Barney, is in the sales itself. Maybe that's where the money goes. It goes into the youth academy. It goes into developing the players, and that allows them to keep making these, bringing these young players through, selling them on for good sums of money. I think very much that it's a very sign of a very healthy club to be able to make these kind of sales from youth players or young players bought in at a much lower price. The only thing I would question is the kind of the timing, the mid-season timing of it all, which I think is a little bit disappointing, especially when you're in a big competition and the summer transfer window is always going to be there, but perhaps they have to feel they have to capitalize on the demand whilst it's there, which again, I understand that as well. But yeah, I'm sure Vitória fans will just be thinking this is the same thing. Same thing all over again. Barney, Rio Ave have also been fairly active this window. They've been spending even more money. I had to do a bit of a double take when I saw they're signing a player from Estrela da Amadora for 2 million euros, André Luiz, which is quite impressive. So they continue to bring in reinforcements under their new ownership. But other than that, I'm
A
not sure.
few.
Are there any other signings or rumours that have caught your eye?
Well, it's there's a lot of comings and goings between the sort of Marinakis
Right, I
umbrella
see.
clubs, right? So like there's a few on loan from Olympiacos as well that have come in, a few outgoings as well. It's just, there seems to be a slight focus on the defense. They brought in Andreas Ntoyi from Olympiacos. They brought in, is it Abby as well? Is he from
Another English
Olympiacos?
player.
Yeah, left-footed centre back. I think Jonathan Panzer is a left-footed centre back. Like they've got a couple there already. So yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, I was actually. I think I've gone on a bit of a. When this first sort of happening, Albert, I think I was quite excited by the opportunities that Real were going to get to sign, like the players they were going to sign, and. But I'm beginning to think it might be become a more of a one-way thing. Like I feel like if there is good talent there, it'll be taken up by Olympiacos or a bigger club. But what's going to happen to Real Ave is that they're just going to get deadwood. They're just going to get players who, I don't know. They might improve the quality. They might not. They might be lesser quality. I don't know. But essentially, you're going to have other managers to put a team together. And although I think Petit is a good enough is the right sort of manager for that. Seeing the amount of activity going on. I mean, at the weekend, was it that they had Clayton wasn't available, so they were playing a 18-year-old Israeli striker on loan from Olympiacos, and you could just see him struggle against Sporting. Like they've just it just wasn't good enough. But you know, for Olympiacos, they've got a guy getting experience in the Portuguese league. So I don't know. I do wonder about that. In terms of other transfers for the rest of the league, I think Telasco Segovia's departure from Casapia is interesting because I think he was quite a key player for them. I think Sporting getting a goalkeeper is huge. Rui Silva. It's I don't know much about him. I don't know if he's amazing. Is he 30 years old? But it's Rui Borja just saying, right, you're my keeper, you're my guy now. We've done that change. It's addressing a problem that was obviously there. So I think that was quite good. Otherwise, I think it's nothing too exciting.
We're still warming up.
I don't know. I just there's been a few outgoings. Oh, Ivor Rodriguez to Moreirense from Arouca. I've always rooted for that guy.
I think we should do perhaps something that I know the patrons wanted us to discuss, which is a kind of teams in form section outside of the big three, obviously, but I don't know whether we should pick a team each for a kind of who's been playing well recently. I know you're probably going to talk about Gil Vicente or perhaps another team. So one team I just wanted to flag as in good form of late that are making improvements is Estoril under Jonathan, excuse me, under Ian Cathro. Two wins and a draw in their last three games. They beat Santa Clara 3-2 away from home, which I think is a really excellent result. Before that, they beat Estrela da Amadora 4-2 away from home. another really good result. So 7 goals scored in those 2 games. They drew with Morens game before that. They've only lost 3 of their last 10 league games with 4 draws and three, excuse me, four wins and 3 draws. So I think it's pleasing, Barney, to see them start to get into gear, start to play a bit better, start to put more points on the table. Because Estoril, a team that I like quite a lot, and I'll give you an idea, Barney. Some of the teams they're currently ahead of in the league: Famalicão, Rio Ave, Arouca. So they've done pretty well, I think, to get into the position that they're in, considering they had a very slow start.
Yeah, I think the key thing is you've alluded to their last 10 games, right? The 11th game going backwards was their loss to, is it fourth tier or fifth tier side Luistiano in the cup, which is a really embarrassing point, right? I think it was 0-0 when they lost on penalties, but and so their 9 games before that they had 1 win, 4 draws, 4 losses, only 4 goals scored, and then you mentioned their last 10 games. You know, they lose to that team in the cup, and then their next 10 games, 17 goals scored. That's been the biggest difference. It's that turnaround. And like I've said multiple times, you know, that they've been patient with Cafu, and he's worked things out now. The midfield is looking great, and with the wing backs, I think Pina, the fact that Pina is the right wing back, is I'm really starting to enjoy watching play. And then, of course, the midfield, Dzeko and Holzgrove are nicely complement each other. Yeah, I think they could keep, I think the momentum will continue for them. I think they will get better and better. At the back line as well, the back four there. Because I remember at the beginning in the summer, but I was so in all in on it with Ian Cafu. I was looking at all their signings, like really analysing and thinking, oh, this might work out. Like there's a Basher, the Austrian centre back. I remember just reading about him, like, and how like he had real promise in like the second division of or the second or third tier of Germany, and then something went wrong. He got a move, so like it's always like an opportunistic signing, right? Similar to like Holzgrove is a massively opportunistic signing. Like young Scotsman are like destined for the top. So he had a bad move with Turkey, and then he's you know they brought him in all over the pitch. You know that there's. I don't know, and even Cafu is that similar sort of story. You know, he's I don't know. It just everything seems like it could come off, and if it does, I think they've got real potential to push higher. I think they're a great pick for a team in form, and they might give. I'm excited to see them against some of the big teams soon, actually, to see how they fare against them. Because to be fair, when they have played Porto and Sporting, I think they've conceded 7 goals in those 2 games. But you know, that Ian Cafu, like I say, he's finding his feet there.
Yeah, and it's been a bit messy at that club for a little while, I think, hasn't it? So
Yeah.
it's kind of nice that they might be turning the corner a little bit. I mean, nobody expects Estoril to be right at the top of the table, but yeah, they perhaps have underperformed recently and haven't had it as an easy time of it off the field. So yeah, a bit of stability and a bit of progression is good to see. Who are you going to go for now? Am I right in saying you're going to go for Gil Vicente?
Yeah, I did want to look at the percent because obviously the win against Porto at the weekend is a huge. Well, I say huge a team, but haven't they beat them like 6 times in the last 5 years or something like that? I think there's a statistic about that. They've done very well against Porto in the past, but then no, they just. I hadn't realised Bruno Pinheiro had been there most of the season, like or since the summer, and I felt like that it felt like there's been a recent upturn in performances, but perhaps that's just him sort of, as I've just been talking about Ian Cafu, like sort of finding his feet, finding his team. Because also, it feels like they haven't really changed the squad that much at all from last year when they really struggled. But you know, Fujimoto is if Pinheiro is on one thing, it's bringing the best out, getting the best out of Fujimoto again. He's looking really effective in midfield, goals and assists. The defense is looking all right as well. Like it's and like once again, like with sort of very little reinforcement. Yeah, and then there's is it Mauri Gaban, sort of defensive midfielder, he seems to do. I think that's probably the he's, if anything, he's been the key to their success because he sort of protects the back line. He has stability in midfield, allows Fujimoto to play, allows, Felix Correa. Is it Tinjani Touré as well? They've got Mbudo on the bench. They're attacking players, fast players, and if they've got him covering behind, it works well. And of course, they've kept Andrew as well, who a really good goalkeeper. Yeah, I saw a couple of rumors about some of the big clubs being in for Felix Correa, but if he stays, that's great. So yeah, I think I like it because I feel like it's quite subtle from Pinheiro. It hasn't been like there's it's it, it it's almost quite simple. I saw, however, that they had a I think there's 6 games now unbeaten in the league. It's 6-game streak, which is the longest since the 21-22 season when they got into Europe and they had Samuel Lino, Fran Navarro, Pedrino, that team that I sort of fell in love with, for sure. So, they're back to that sort of those sort of levels, really, with a team with players that I wouldn't say are as good as those players back then. So I think I think they like Estoril, I quite like them for the running. I think they could, because pa Pablo got the goal at the weekend. He hasn't played a lot for them, the young Brazilian striker. I think he's on loan from Famalicão, but he hasn't played a lot for them because I think they've got a Spanish striker called Aguirre, who's sort of started most of the games this season but hasn't scored it. They've got a young striker called Cao as well, I think, Angolan striker. But Pablo looks interesting because I think at Famalicão he had a bit of hype around him, never really got an opportunity. Goal against Porto. If he gets scoring as well, it could be a good second half of the season for 100%.
Yeah, I think you're right to say that it's been a bit under the radar as well, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. These teams don't always need loads of hype around them and all that kind of stuff. But as you say, the performance has been really good, unbeaten in their last 6 league games, which is very impressive. Obviously, the win against Porto, but also draw against Sporting. They also drew against Braga earlier in the season, so it's been some really good results. And yeah, I think Gil Vicente perhaps does have a good, it's one of the clubs where there is a little bit of potential around it to kind of just creep up the table a little bit. And, it's got a good fan base in the part of the country that it's in. It's got a kind of a local identity and yeah, a decent set of fans. So yeah, I really like Gil Vicente, and the manager, Bruno Pinheiro, is one that I liked when he was Estoril manager. Yeah, and I like the fact that he's back and doing good things because it was easy to kind of forget about him a little bit. But yeah, I think, like you said, it's all a little bit under the radar, but going quietly very well.
I think, I think that's a really interesting point because he was his job. The job he did at Estoril was incredible, like a really good team. I think like it stands out if we're going back several seasons out of all the season that his performance with Estoril stands out. And then yeah, didn't he go to be was it the Qatar under-23 manager or something like that? And then he had another job. Forgive me, I can't remember what league, but it's a Middle Eastern league where his his points per game average was like 2.45 or something. So really good, and it wasn't a team I recognised. So he's a really good manager, and a, it's a yeah, he could be a good fit as your percent. I think it's a great appointment.
There is one other club, Barney, that we probably should have mentioned. I'll just mention it in passing, of course. We got to give some credit to Casapia, who've been in such good form, playing so well. They had those 3 wins in a row, which was really good. They drew against Famalicão last week. They're actually playing against Boavista tonight. Yeah, we're not sure what the result of that will be, but again, a good opportunity to win. I mean, it's incredible considering the size of the club to see them sitting 7th in the table. And yeah, I think that's a team that if they continue that good form, them and their manager will be catching a lot of headlines. So yeah, I think those are the 3 good clubs I think to mention as clubs
João,
in form.
sorry, I always forget his name as well. João Pereira is 32 years old, the manager of Casapia.
I know, it's crazy.
No, I think I really enjoyed Casapia. Like I said, I was a bit I'm a bit gutted Segovia's gone because, but they've got good other midfielders. There's Benny, the Angolan midfielder I really like. Pablo Roberto is a good player. Rafael Brito as well. But yeah, there's been Cassiano has been a good pickup, but this the Jeremy Livolant is this 27-year-old French winger who I've never heard of ever. But he was interesting. He went down. He was with Bordeaux. Then he lost his. Yeah, obviously, what happened to Bordeaux happened, and then they signed him in the 17th of September. So after the transfer window, sort of a bit of an opportunistic signing, but he's obviously got some quality there. So that was a smart move from them.
Before we end, Barney, we're also going to spend some time on these bonus podcasts. As I said, talking about the weird and wonderful stories from the world of Portuguese football. I think you've got a good one for us this week to end on.
Oh yeah, it's Fabio Contrão, and I don't. I'm a bit worried because I haven't got the full story, but but I
His
should.
lawyer's going to be in touch. If any of his lawyers happen to be patrons, then we're in
Well,
trouble.
he's
But
put out a statement which I haven't translated or read. But so
where's the statement?
you find it while I tell the
Okay.
story. But so essentially, I saw it's a video clip, and he's attacking a news reporter on camera. And I think that the news reporter has gone to speak to him because there's a story about him having illegally caught. Because the big thing about when he retired, right, was that he wanted to become a fisherman. So,
So, carry on. So I'm looking at an AI generated image of Fabio Contrão with a load of surrounded by a load of crabs and just the Narcos Netflix
yes, I saw that as well. That was a good one.
Sorry, carry on.
But this is like yes. So he retired, right, and then. Where was he last? Was he? It wasn't his top club. He
Rio Ave,
was,
was it not?
yeah. So he retired from Rio Ave and then went into the fishing business. And then he's been illegally catching shellfish without a license. And so this report has turned up and then he's attacked them. But and I saw this and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he was a fisherman. And then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he used to play for Real Madrid. Like, why is this guy anywhere near? Like, what is it? What is that? Like, why is he illegally catching shellfish? Why does he need to do that?
Likening in this, Barney, to you know how in Primeira Liga when a manager doesn't have the right license to actually be a manager, so they have to sit on the touchline. Maybe he doesn't have the right license to actually be the one casting the nets. He just has to sit on the boat.
Is
He has to wear
crazy, isn't
an
it?
armband saying fisherman.
Why is he getting himself involved in it? Like, and
Yeah.
then it's like, and then why would you attack a report? Like, it's, have you found a statement? Has he given any?
No, I can't find it. But
No.
anyway, we'll follow up with that next week, perhaps. But yeah, only in Portugal, I think. Well, look, shall we leave it there then, Barney? Yeah, I think this has actually been slightly more structured than what it would normally be. I think normally on the
Yeah.
Patreon, it will be a bit more random. We did, I mean, because this is going on the main feed, did a bit more kind of serious chat on managing stuff. But anyway, if you enjoyed listening and you'd like to get that kind of podcast every week, you'll be able to find it on our Patreon. There'll be a link in the description of this podcast. And as Barney says, it's only £1 a month, and you get that alongside access to our incredibly popular Patreon Predictions League, which is a weekly Predictions League where you can win real life prizes. So definitely get involved if you think you might be interested. We'll be back next week with a regular podcast, probably with a guest. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, in the meantime, just to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, you're welcome.